101.7 The Truth. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. Are your finances low, your mindset off track, or are you ready to get into real estate? Tune in to The Journey with Coach Erica every first and third Saturday from 11 a.m. to noon on 101.7 The Truth. It's all about mindset, money, and real estate, helping you take the next step towards building a better future. Truth Nation, it's your girl, Jazz Tyler. You are officially tapped in. Hey, check this out. If you are just now joining us, you have officially tapped into the Friday Kickback, and we are doing the soundtrack of America. Every half hour is a decade. We just got up out the 80s. We were talking about the war on drugs, the violence, right? All of the street politicians who were reporting directly from the streets, what was going on, so much to the point where NWA received a letter from the FBI telling them that they could no longer say certain things in their music, pretty much telling them they did not have the right to voice, to use their voice. And I was explaining that once. This is where things changed in music.
Negro, please.
Once they were able to dictate how we get to make our music based off of how much money we were being paid, that is when hip-hop changed, right? That is when hip-hop changed. And it wasn't a payout because we were talented. It was a payout to be quiet. It was a payout to say, hey, if you are going to make this music and report to the streets, you're going to do it in a way where you can get people to do what you do so that we can lock them up. We need it done in a way where we can capitalize off of it, right? That brings me to the 90s. Rodney King, the LA uprising, the violence, the 1994 crime bill, expanding incarceration, Biden, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, hello. While black television, hip-hop, and R&B was exploding culturally, right? So by the time we reached the 90s, things changed. We had options. We had shows where black people got to be families, professionals. They could be weird, wealthy, working class, young, old, everything, right? This is also the decade of the Rodney King beating that happened in 1992 during the LA uprising. The violent crime debate dominates politics. The 1994 crime bill became law. Incarceration expanded. Some neighborhoods are still carrying the damage of the crack era, right? And somehow the music is holding all of it. So when we go back to the 90s and we think about some of the artists that we had who were creating music, who were creating the soundtrack to our lives, right? Earlier on, it seemed as if it became more, I say like the late 80s, when Guy and certain people started to come out with the New Jack Swing, going into the 90s. It was more, you know, dance music. It was a variety of different music, but we did have a lot of party music where people just wanted to, you know, have a good time. Then you still had some artists like Pac, like Nas, KRS-One, different people who were speaking, you know, directly from the streets. And during this time, this is when this is the aftermath of the war on drugs. This is during mass incarceration. This is during the invention of welfare. This is during when the housing needs changed and they started to remove the black man from the household. This is where a lot of the movies that started to be made were a reflection of the music, the hip hop music that was being made in the 80s, right? The Menace to Society and Boys in the Hood and all of the above. However, there was a balance. We still had, again, the TV shows, Different World and the Bill Cosby and all of that. But this is where they implemented law, right? So they say, hey, we're reporting from the streets in the 80s. This is what we see. We don't care. We standing up. Da 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 da. All right, cool. I want y'all to, right? This is what the government telling us as a people. With our culture and our music, keep on. I want y'all to. I want y'all to keep, you know, fighting back against what we're doing to you. And we're going to lock y'all black asses up. And what they did was create the 1994 crime bill. And that's when mass incarceration came into effect. So now all of the people who were proud to represent artists that stood up for them and spoke their truth and also spoke their life because they could relate to it, now they have to be careful because they became targets. They didn't even have to do anything. You just be black and be a man and get locked up. So much to the point that Pac made I Get Around and all the other songs, and the vice president called him out. The vice president went on national TV and called him out about his CDs. They were stumping all over his CDs, so on and so on. I remember the clip from the NWA movie, and they had bought all of those CDs, and they was pretty much damaging it. And Eazy-E was like, it don't matter, they bought it. Like, we still got paid. All these white people buying our music just to stump on it and tell other people not to listen to it. Guess what? We still got paid, right? Which is hilarious because it's the truth. Back then, you had to physically go in the store to purchase the music. So y'all went out of y'all way to purchase the music just to destroy it, which actually didn't do anything. But we started to hear records like, after that happened where they called him out, we started to hear records like Keep Your Head Up, where he talked about War on Drugs. And, you know, Brenda's Got a Baby, which was based off of a true story. And even some of the music that KRS-One and Nas made as well. And things change. That was a defining moment. The moment with NWA and the FBI, the letter being sent to them, was a defining moment. Those two moments specifically was a hardcore message sent to not just black men, but our culture overall. They were telling us, A, you don't have a voice. Actually, you do have a voice, but we get to dictate what that sounds like, right? And if you keep on utilizing your voices to move the masses of the people who can relate to what is really happening in your community, we are going to put you in jail. Or are we going to kill you? One or the other, but that's what's going to happen. And the hip hop industry became political. Very, very political. So much to the point where I'm almost positive they had to sign artists who were willing to play the game. Meaning, there's no way, like, you can say something here and there, but you got to do it in a safe way. And if you're not willing to, it's going to be a problem. Because at the end of the day, the goal was for them to capitalize off of the pain of our people. What started out as us reporting what was happening, right? In case anybody was wondering, hey, this is what's happening to us. This is what they did to us. They had to figure out a way to put fear in us so that we wouldn't become rebels and that we would stop utilizing our music in that manner, because people was really waking people up. When you go back to the 80s and 90s, think about it. If you were born or you grew up during that time, think about the climate of the city when you heard NWA, when you heard you know, Arrested Development, when you heard Tupac Shakur, when you heard different artists who was standing up speaking. Think about the climate, not just the music, but the climate of this city, the climate of the music industry, the climate of this country. It was so much happening, and it was so many people who were aware. This is pre-social media. I'm not talking in a marketing stance. I'm talking in a point of us lacking social skills. This is pre-social media. Right? This is pre-ADD, ADHD, and, you know, ABCD, all of the above. Whatever it is that they want to diagnose us with, this is pre all of that, where people actually had their brain cells and was emotionally intelligent and understood, no matter if they was banging or if they was a school teacher, we all had a common goal, and that was for Black people to live a certain way and for Black people to have a certain type of freedom and be able to express ourselves. And that changed. And they had to figure out a way to capitalize off of it. Shout out to the chat. Jazz West says, absolutely, pay to be quiet. LaRon Taylor says, from PM Dawn. Listen, PM Dawn is so underrated. MC Hammer, we went to Public Enemy, NWA. She said, you talking what I've been telling since 2008. Exactly. Man, I truly love your show today. Thank you, Ma. Shout out to my mom in the chat. But yes, this is where things took a turn. This is where things became very political. This is where things started to feel a little bit different. And after, I say, like, right before Pac got murdered, assassinated, because remind you, that was them sending a message on a completely different level. And despite of what anybody got to say, we know exactly why they did it, right? When that happened, if you look at the timeline of music, that's when certain music started to be pushed to the masses of the people. That's when certain images started to be pushed to the masses of the people. And if you notice, nobody got loud enough anymore. There wasn't any artist that was standing that hard. There was a shift. And we're going to talk about it when we come back from break. Do not touch that dial. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler, 101.7 The Truth. With the baseball bat, I tried to get away, but I couldn't get far, cause a man with a touch of repossessed my car. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. 101.7 The Truth. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. Listen, if you are just now joining us, we are going through decades of music, the soundtrack of America, and pointing out the flaws as it pertains to the setup. The setup of music, right? How it went from our people utilizing their voice, their God-given talent, and their platform to report live on what was happening in our communities. This is the 60s, 50s, 60s, 70s. Then moving into the 80s to where hip-hop and gangster rap started as a way to say, listen, y'all can't silence us. This is what's happening. And then moving along to the 90s to where penalties started to happen, right? You got vice presidents calling out artists and demanding that they not make the music that they made. You have artists being assassinated, hip-hop artists. You have the 1994 crime bill, right? All of these things started to take place. So in the 90s, politics started to take over the music industry in a different kind of way. Because they then, and again, these are not hardcore facts. This is just my analogy of it, right? As someone who was in the industry, who have done music and been around it, as well as the movement and the people. This is the things that people don't see, right? These are the things that people may talk about in private, but we need to have these conversations out loud so that we can break down what is happening with our babies and the music that they currently listen to and the influence of it. But once politics began to take over hip hop in the music industry, it started to become a setup. So much to the point where it was like, hey, they're not listening. They're going to do what they want to do. They keep making the music. So let's figure out a way to capitalize off of it and do it in a sense where we benefit from it. That's always the case when it comes to those entities, right? So the 2000s is when hip hop becomes an enormous global business. The hustler isn't just a character anymore. The hustler becomes a brand. This is where we go into pimp language, right? In that culture. And at almost the same moment, federal law was changing how America defines and prosecute human trafficking. So what happens when the law is saying exploitation is a serious crime while entertainment can make pieces of that same energy look glamorous? What do I mean? What are you talking about, Jazz? What are you talking about? Okay, let's dive into it. The Federal Trafficking Victims Protection Act was enacted in the year of 2000. It created a major federal framework around preventing trafficking, prosecuting traffickers, and protecting victims. Now, think about what else was happening culturally around that same time. Hip-hop was becoming one of the biggest business in entertainment. The hustler image was selling. The pimp language, the pimp fashion, the pimp images are showing up in records, videos, movies, televisions, even in ways that people who had nothing to do with the street life started repeating it, right? So now all of a sudden you got, not to mention, oh, I forgot about this, the hip hop police. So in the early 2000s, it was revealed that the New York Police Department, NYPD, and other federal agencies maintained a covert rap intelligence unit. This unit actively monitored artists and tracked the travel of high-profile hip-hop artists under the assumption that record labels were operating as fronts for street gangs. So basically, they started to target all of the hip-hop and rap artists who were becoming businessmen, creating record labels and then signing their record labels to the bigger record labels, right? These are the guys that's like, hey, I know an artist or I am an artist. I want to do this. I got the bread to do it. Cool. We about to make some music and we about to do it in a way where we can live the life that we want to live. Also in the 2000s, there was a massive spike in prosecutors introducing rap lyrics into criminal proceedings. Rather than being treated as fictional or metaphorical, lyrics were presented to juries as literal, right? Literal confessions to establish intent or character. So when people say, and this is from an article from Harvard University. So people thought that this was new when it happened to Young Thug. No, this been happening. This been happening. So fast forward, we're in the early 2000s and y'all at home watching Rhapsody in the Basement, BET, MTV, all of the above, right? And then you see all of these songs. The PIMP by 50 Cent. I even believe T.I. was making everybody. Pimping All Over the World by Ludacris. Everybody was pushing this culture. Everybody was pushing this culture. When 50 Cent made PIMP, he made this at the same time that they were enforcing human trafficking laws. When Ludacris made Pimpin' All Over the World, he was making this at the same time that they were enforcing human trafficking laws. When T.I. made Let's Get Away, and all the other music about, you know, Pimp Tight and all of this, they were creating human trafficking laws. Let's take a listen to a song from that time.
I don't know what you heard about me. Who the can't get a dollar out of me? No Cadillac, no perms, you can't see. Then I'm a P.I.M.P. I don't know what you heard about me. Put a can't get a dollar out of me. No Cadillac, no perms, you can't see. Then I'm a P.I.M.P.
All right. So, they made it cool.
What do you mean by that?
Hello. They made it cool for everybody to want to walk around. And mind you, I'm 38. So at this time, I was in high school. So we talk about the music that our children listen to now and the things that they're saying. But imagine your child walking around talking about their pimp or that they got, I got O's. I got O's in different area code. Pimping all over the world, right? These are the songs that if you were in high school in the early 2000s, we were singing these songs verbatim. We were singing these songs verbatim. Right? And then what happened? You get hit with the human trafficking bill at the same time that this music is being created. You can't tell me that it's not a setup. You cannot tell me that it's not a setup. This is what they was pushing. So you got FBI hitting up NWA in the 1980s saying that they can't make music about harming the police, although the police can not make music, but they can take our lives and nobody's doing nothing about it. They send NWA a letter saying, cease and desist, you can't perform this song in the middle of Rodney King getting his lights beat out of him. In the 90s, they saying you can't make music calling women out of their name. And then Pac said, okay, cool, I'm going to make Keep Your Head Up. And they still went on. The vice president still went and did a press conference. Right? That was a direct target. So, what year did Eric Wright die? 1994. What year did Tupac Shakur die? 1996. And these are two entities who were targeted by the FBI because of the type of music that they made and because of what it was doing to the masses of the people. So now you got the mass incarceration bill. Now you got politics involved in hip hop. So much to the point where there's nothing that they can do about it but attempt to capitalize off of it. Okay, cool. Going to the 2000s. Have them make this type of music, right? And the setup is because when you look at the year that the human trafficking laws were created during this time, it was before this type of music came out. Not to say it wasn't out before, but I'm talking about this specific generation of music. So the law came out. And then you had pimping all over the world. I got O's in different area codes. I don't know what you heard about me. I'm a PIMP. You got all these artists, all the record labels pushing these artists to talk about pimping. And then they start getting hit with the human trafficking laws. So they're utilizing the music and the culture to push people to live this lifestyle. And then turn around and lock them up because they're going to get paid. This is the name of the game. Man, what? The name, take that. That's what he's saying now too. Take that.
Bad boy.
This is the name of the game and they're still doing it. And it started in the 2000s. Make them create these laws. Make them make this type of music. Lock they black butt up when they make this music so we can make money off of them in prison and out of prison. We're going to make money off your music, off your royalties, off your masters, and we're going to make money physically out off of you because we're going to lock you up for making the music that you made even though we told your record label to tell you to make the music. Set up. I don't think y'all hear me. And now y'all running around like, why these kids this? Yeah, because all they listen to is NBA Youngboy. Only for him to have the money to go to the clinicians he need and come out and say, my therapist said that I need to change my life. Or other artists. Yeah, I don't even really smoke or drink. I just make music like that. But guess what? Your babies do, because those are the artists that they listen to. This is still happening. It's just packaged up in a different way. Let's continue this conversation. When we come back from break, it's your girl Jazz Tyler, 101.7 The Truth.
Yo, why is Jada kiss as hard as it gets? Why is the industry designed to keep the artists in debt? And why them dudes ain't riding if they part of your set? And why they never get it popping but they party
101.7 The Truth, it's your girl Jazz Tyler. Life's better when you know you are covered. With the home and auto policy from American Family Insurance, you are not just buying coverage, you are getting an agent who helps you feel protected and prepared. Someone who understands what you've built and what you are building next. Because when your home and your ride are protected the right way, You are free to focus on your family, your goals, and your future. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly with American Family Insurance. Get a quote or find an agent at amfam.com. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin. Truth Nation, thank you all so much for tuning in. If you are just now joining us, we are going through decades of music and how it pertains to being the soundtrack of America. Each generation of music gives us information on what it is that us, the people, are going through, right? And we spent the past hour and a half talking about the 60s, the 70s, 80s, so on and so on. And now we are pulling up to the year of 2000. So before we went to break, I was tapping into just laying out the foundation of what it looks like and how certain government entities targeted the hip hop music industry in order to not only capitalize off of our people, but to put us in a position to where we could potentially be penalized for expressing ourselves or for indulging in certain activities. So I was saying that the year 2000 is when things changed drastically. So you have the Trafficking Victims Protection Act. The landmark Trafficking Victims Protection Act of 2000 laid the groundwork for the federal response to human trafficking. In the years since, Congress has built on this foundation, honing and expanding the U.S. strategy to combat sex trafficking and labor trafficking through a holistic, multi-agency approach. Polaris works with allies to shape, support, and share innovative state, federal, and local laws and policies that are driven by data based on survivor experience and focused on expanded accountability for sex and labor trafficking. There is one thing that I want y'all to pay attention to, and that is the multi-agency approach. What that means is, for artists specifically, and this is still happening today, but for artists specifically, they were sending in multiple government agencies to target them based on the music that they were making. But here's the cold setup. The setup is this bill comes out. And then you have, because remember, the record labels, the private prisons have shares inside of the record labels. The setup is, all right, we're going to put out this Trafficking Victims Protection Act of 2000 to help people who are being human trafficked and who are part of human trafficking. And we're going to go back to the record label and say, hey, we want you to make this song. Make this song. And even if the label didn't directly tell them to, they put them in rooms or put them. Somebody had a conversation. Somebody sparked the idea. Sometimes the devil don't come knocking at your door. Sometimes he gonna send somebody to you. Who sent you? Who sent you? Hoppo, who that woman? Somebody sent somebody to tell these artists to make music surrounding pimping. All while there was a bill out to protect people who was considered as being a part of human trafficking. They make the music, and then you begin to see people go to jail, right? And if they don't go to jail, it's because more than likely they were biting the bullet, conforming, doing whatever it is. You know how crazy and freaky this industry can be, right? They probably were a part of it. Not to mention, that's a whole different topic, but not to mention, this whole time that this is happening, there was actually real human trafficking happening on Epstein's Island. Are y'all paying attention to the setup? I mean, it's not funny. I'm laughing because it's mind-boggling. It's similar to someone in the streets who set somebody else up for something that they didn't do.
Damn.
The private prisons have shares and stakes inside of the record labels. They then tell grab these artists, mold them to be who they want them to be, tell them to make this specific music, lock them up, have them brainwash the masses of the people, lock them up and lock up the people that they was brainwashing, make money physically off of them, because we all know prison is slavery. So while they're in prison, they're making money off of them. And while they're in prison, their music is still selling. And now they own the masters of royalties. They own their name. They have life insurance policies on these artists. So they're making money every which way. So they're creating these laws for the artists to take the fall. Meanwhile, there's a whole island called Epstein Island. Not to say, because I don't know. I can't vouch for certain artists. I don't know what they was doing, if they really was in that life. But what I can say is, there was a whole island, that really was partaking in this. And they used hip hop as the front man. They used music as the front. So 2000s is here. You got the human trafficking laws. You got the pimping music being pushed out. Okay, cool. By the time we get to 2005, that slows down, and now we're into strictly hustle mode. Now we're into everybody getting to it, right? Everybody is a hustler. I'm talking getting it. And this is at the height of BMF. This is at the height of all types of street organizations, right? And now it's becoming a full circle again. Okay, cool. Now we're about to start taking their lyrics and using it against them. Again, so everything that they're talking about, we're going to take that information and use it in court. And we're running around here thinking everybody's at this time. And I'm telling y'all this too, because remember, I'm an artist. I entered this industry at 15 years old. I've been around all of it. Everything I'm talking about, I've been around it. I've been around it. I've seen it with my own eyes as far as how they chose to dissect this industry and pick it apart. Now we're in the late 2000s, and now they're taking people, music, and using it against them to lock them up, to create indictments and all of everything. Now everybody hustling, everybody grinding, everybody getting to it. That's the culture now, right? So we leave out of the hustler's culture, and then indictment started going, and we get to 2010 to like 2015. And can any of y'all tell me what artists like was popping at that time? I can. Future, Streets Calling mixtape. I'm guilty of it. I was in my early 20s. It was cracking. All the music he was putting out was cracking. But this is when we started to see Lean. This is where we started to hear artists talking about Lean, popping Perks. They been popping X, but now they pushing the Perks and the Lean. They not only is they pushing that, they're pushing hustle too. So you go from the pimping with the human trafficking laws to the hustling, and now they're using rap lyrics as indictment. And by the time you get to 2012, they're talking about Lean and pills. And it's coming from artists who has never used drugs in their life. Come on. Right? Now this is the new culture. Everybody, they say, I can't understand the music that they making. Why they singing? Why they sounding like that? Because they high as hell. They high. Ain't nothing changed but the lyrics. The artists from back in the day was high too. Y'all, I know y'all seen that.
They had that good stuff back then, boy.
He was chewing and he ain't even had nothing in his mouth. The difference is they were singing about substance. During this time, they were singing about Perks, Lean, all of the above. Dirty Sprite. Ain't never drunk lean, nothing in their life. Didn't even do drugs, but they pushing it to us. And again, to each his own. We all have a freedom of speech. You can say whatever you want, right? But know that it comes with something. So now you start to see everybody rapping in the club, riding around, they hustling, they drinking lean, they popping perks, they doing all of the above, and they putting it in their music. Talking about having threesomes and everybody smashing everybody, and then you look up and what is the AIDS rate? What is the STD rate? Right? This is what our people are pushing in the music. Hey, don't shoot the messenger. I'm just trying to get y'all to understand. I'm not being biased or trying to be hypocritical and say that these people shouldn't make this type of music or whatever, because I've contributed to making certain type of music, which is why I don't no more. I chose at that time in 2011 to say I don't want to make this music no more, because I can't be out here in the community telling my people not to do this, but I'm kicking this to them. And I understand not everybody is willing to do that, and that's fine. But I had to make that choice. We are talking about the soundtrack of our lives, the soundtrack to America, music, and how it was set up by government entities. This is your girl, Jazz Tyler, 101.7 The Truth.
Now pour it on up. It's going down. Dipping on some scissor. Dipping on some scissor. Dipping on some scissor. Dipping on some scissor. Dipping on some
101.7 The Truth, it's your girl Jazz Tyler. Hey, listen, if you are watching live, don't judge me. I was in here bopping. Don't judge me, right? If you are just now joining us, we are going through decades of the music industry, the soundtrack to our lives, and the soundtrack to America, KKK, okay? And how the music industry and the government entities set up artists utilizing the music industry. Shout out to the chat. LaRon Taylor said, so the gang life that they affiliated themselves with East Coast and West Coast had nothing to do with their deaths. Dad always told me, just because it's a setup don't mean you have to fall for it. Absolutely, it has something to do with it, right? But, and you're right, the second part, just because it's a setup don't mean you have to fall for it. So this is where the grace come in at. The grace come in because you have to think about the masses of the people, the state of mind that they were in during these times. The state of mind, everybody, when you hungry, you broke, literally, when you're literally hungry and broke, you mad. Y'all mad when it's 90 degrees outside. You don't want to be bothered, let alone hungry and broke. Yeah, anybody can get it. When you living in poverty, it becomes easy to be angry and to react because you don't have nothing to lose. And again, it don't mean that you have to fall for it, but it goes back to it. The conditions of our people being oppressed is not our fault. What is our fault is that we're not paying attention enough to what's happening, or if we are, we just don't care. That's the problem. We're laying out the entire setup from the start to now. They've been setting us up this whole time, and I ain't telling y'all nothing y'all don't know. So now we're in the year 2012. Everybody's pushing perks and lean, right? Now everybody named mama high off cough syrup and liquor. Everybody popping perks. They walking around like zombies. This is when the zombie type of identity started. And then we fast forward to 2015 to 2020. And you begin to see the emasculation of black men on a completely different level. Now the artists are wearing dresses. Now they are wearing purses. Now they are painting their nails. And we're not talking about the alphabet community. We're not talking about someone's sexuality. We're talking about them feminizing black men who were artists to make a statement. Because when you look at it, they were not dressing like this every day. They just forced them to take a photo shoot in this attire. So now they're sending another message. Hey, Y'all been rising up for so many years. Y'all making all this gangster music. Y'all calling the government out in the 90s. Y'all hustling in the 2000s and y'all pimping. All right, cool. I'm about to make you my B. Go ahead and put this purse on. Go ahead and paint them nails. Go ahead and get them bedazzled earrings and piercings on your face. Go ahead and, you know, wear these dresses and skirts.
In Young Thug's defense, he said he had to wear the dress to hide the gun.
You know what, Z? I've been around some real ones my whole life, and they ain't never had to wear a dress to hide a gun.
Bruh.
Okay.
Not even an AK?
They ain't never had to wear a dress to hide a gun. For real. They did all of this. Okay, cool. I'm about to make you mine. And they completely feminized black men who were representation of the ghetto, the hood, the struggle. Then they started to go and grab people who they know they can mold, right? So there used to be a time where the streets dictated the music. The music did not dictate the streets. Now you have artists who are trying to be in the streets that's never been in the streets, not knowing Negro. They was doing music to get out the streets, and you trying to run back to it and then wonder why you end up in jail. So they doing all of this stuff. They becoming more feminine, not by nature, not because this is who they are, but because they are being forced to for the agenda and the propaganda at hand. So now we have them all during the 1990s, the mass incarceration. During this time, so many people, family members, fathers, uncles, brothers was taken away, which means that we are a whole generation has been removed. They didn't get out until 2015. They went in 1995. Now they're coming back into society under the code that they was under when they left. In a society where there is no longer a code. In society where they have to deal with young black men who are being feminized by the music industry. And then you wonder why they can't get along. Two different generations, two different codes, two different types of men. You have a male and a man. Now everything is all discombobulated. So they wearing the dresses and they doing all of it. They popping the perks. They doing all of this stuff. Then 2018, 2017, they said, hey, let's create drill music. Let's create drill music. Right? Let's take an artist from Chicago and let's make this type of music and start calling Chicago Chirac. And then we're going to drop off some military weapons in the alley when everybody sleep at night and go arrest them a lot. Watch them kill each other and then go pick them up. Another setup. So we was all riding around. What we was listening to, Z? This is what we riding around. Everybody in their cars in 2018, after, you know, the gangster rap in the 80s, then the 90s, the president's coming out, then the mass incarceration, then in 2000, it's the pimping and the hustling, then it's the lean and so on. And now by the time we reach 2018, it's drill music. What? Come on. They started serial killer music, man. They in here making it rain, man. But y'all hear it, right? Y'all hear it. This is the start of drill music. This is the start of... So now they're saying, all right, we didn't... Basically, we didn't took... we didn't took these music, young music artists, made them feminine, and gangsters at the same time.
Bruh.
So now, pew pew. Brother Z, what'd you say?
Pew pew.
Now you expected to walk down the street and see somebody. Like, if you black, you know what I mean, man. You know when somebody just got out. So 2015, everybody that went in under the mass incarceration law, the 1994 crime bill, they out. They hard body, right? From their head to their shoes, they hard body 10 toes. And you mixing them into a society with a whole bunch of young black rappers wearing persons painting their nails and carrying an AK at the same time. Talk about confused, right? So now you got the drill music in effect. Chief Keef come out. All these artists come out. I'm sorry, Chief Keef was out before 2018, but you know what I mean. All this type of music come out. Then here come NBA Youngboy, the young people's hope. Here come King Von, right? Here come so many of these artists. What you want, some shoes, Jimmy Choo? What a handbag too. Red a baby blue, she gets a smile. She ain't used to this, cause she ain't used to this. This is where the whole ops. You a op, right? And they didn't got so tricky with it to where they start FaceTiming they ops and having playful shootouts. Like, they literally be on FaceTime like, yeah, you the op, but I'ma see when I catch you, I'ma get you. You was kind of fast. Like it's a game. Their life is a game. And what they started to do once drill music started, what did they start to do? We're going to talk about it after the break. Do not touch that dial. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler, 101.7 The Truth.
The destruction of black people.